God righted you, lifted up on the wings of divine revelation. So now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be majesty, dominion, and power. God can keep you from falling. God can make a way out of no way. God can save us with his great and his outstretched arm. Amen. And everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord, because he's worthy. I said he's worthy. Worthy to be praised. I want to make a mention of one other thing this morning. If you didn't see it, we have some TV celebrities in the audience this morning. Sister West and Sister Brooke Moss were on Good Morning Alabama. Is that right? A Good Day Alabama? One of them. The talk show. And they're doing a wonderful job with the breast cancer awareness. As you well know, cancer is a killer. It is an insidious disease that is marching, and we've lost a lot of special people because of cancer. So we salute these two strong black women, Christian women, who are taking the fight to cancer and raising awareness and consciousness about this terrible disease. And they did an outstanding job. They were just so professional. And they really looked good. I was proud. Amen. Amen, amen. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, and also I want to welcome Jessica's mother is with us this morning, and we're happy to have her with us this morning. Amen. I want to thank her, Jessica and Mama, because Jessica was so kind. She would take my baby to school. Yes, she would. Isn't that wonderful? She didn't have to do that. But she was so kind. And thank you, Jessica, for all that you've done. Second Chronicles, chapter 9. Brother Sperling read it so beautifully. When he didn't just read it, he prayed a magnificent prayer. Yeah, Brother Ruller said he preached that prayer. And I got to say amen. Amen. I want to thank Brother Rutledge for the upbeat and wonderful way in which he sings these praises to our great God. Thank Brother Harris for an excellent invocation this morning. Amen. And just thank all of the participants for your participation. I simply want to read one verse in this chapter. Chapter 9, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. And I simply want to read one verse, and that's verse number 1. If you have it, say amen. As they said this morning, if you go to 2 Kings and turn right, you'll find Chronicles. If you have it, say amen. Now when, I'm going to ask you to read this text after me. I'm reading it from the New King James Version. I'm going to ask you to read it after me. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with very hard questions. Having a very great company, camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, precious stones.
Precious.
When she came to Solomon,
she spake with him
about all that was in her heart. Let's read verse 2.
So Solomon
answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. Now, using that reading this morning for the past few weeks, the Lord has placed upon my heart this number 7. I'm still thinking about this number 7 because 7 is the number of perfection in the Bible. 7 is the number of completion in the Bible. There were 7 churches of Asia Minor. There were 7 seals in the book of Revelation. There are 7 days in a week. So 7 is a very significant number in Scripture. And we're thinking in terms of 7. About 2 weeks ago, I talked about 7 keys to a more effective prayer life. On last Sunday, we spoke about 7 skills to take your life to the next level. This morning, I want to talk about 7 questions you should make sure you answer. Can you say that with me? 7 questions.
7 questions.
You should make sure
you answer.
Let's say it again. 7 questions.
7 questions.
You should make sure
you
answer. Once again, 7 questions.
7 questions.
You should make sure
that you
answer. Is that all right? Now, this morning, 7 is a very important number. 7 in the book of Hebrews, there are 7 titles that are associated with our Lord Jesus Christ. In that great Hebrew epistle, he is called in chapter 1, that's the title of the heir of all things. In chapter 2, he's called, he has the title of the captain of our salvation. In chapter 3, he's called that great apostle. In chapter 5, he's called the author and the finisher of our faith. In chapter 6, he's called the forerunner. In chapter 10, he's called the high priest. And in chapter 12, he's called the author and the finisher of our faith. And he's also called the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. There's something about the number 7. But this morning, there are some questions. The Bible said, of all you're getting, you should get understanding. We need self-awareness. We need self-consciousness. We need self-understanding. It may be all right to understand other people, but I need to understand myself. And one of the key ways of understanding yourself is asking yourself relevant and important personal questions. We all need to do that. There are questions that I need to ask and that I need to answer. King Solomon became wise. Our text, that was a queen of the south who came a great distance to test the great king with hard questions. She came with enigmas. She came with riddles. She came with parables. She came with problems. And she presented all of these questions to King Solomon. And they were no problem. Every parable she had, he could answer. Every riddle she had, he could answer. Every enigma means something that's puzzling, that she had, he could answer. all the proverbs he could answer. It was nothing that she could ask him that he could not answer. And I want to say this, Solomon was smart, but he was not smart. The only reason he was smart, because God helped him to be smart. And I'm telling us this morning, we cannot be smart without the Lord. Now, if you don't want to let the Lord in, you're going to be dumb. Hello? Amen. If you don't let the Lord into your life, you're going to make some bad choices. Because the devil makes you dumb. The enemy makes us do stupid stuff. Y'all all right? I didn't call nobody stupid. I said we do stupid stuff. I got to admit, I do stupid stuff sometimes. Now, need y'all looking at me. Haven't we all done stupid stuff? The devil causes us to do dumb things. God will make us smart. King Solomon was smart because when God asked him, "What is it one thing you desire that I give you?" And King Solomon said, "Give me an understanding heart so I can understand how to," as Brother Sperling prayed this morning, "so I can understand how to lead people." Whatever position you have, you need understanding. If you're going to be a mother, you need understanding to deal with your children. Hello? If you marry, you need understanding to deal with your wife. The Bible says you got to live with her as the weaker vessel. The Bible says you got to live with her as the weaker vessel. The Bible says you got to live with her as the weaker vessel.
Amen.
Got to have understanding as you deal with people. And I'm saying that the devil will have us being foolish. And then he'll laugh at us. The enemy, let me tell you about three things he does to our minds and hearts. Maybe you'll write these down and think about these. Number one, the devil will take things out of your mind and out of your heart. Luke 8:12 said, "Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word that was sown in your heart, lest you should believe and be saved." So the devil can come and take good thoughts and good ideas and good intentions away from you. Haven't you had good thoughts, good ideas, good intentions you didn't act upon? The second thing the devil can do to us is fill our hearts with bad things. Acts chapter 5. A couple got together to pull off a fraud. They came to church to perpetrate a fraud. When they were found out, the apostle, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto him, "Ananias, how is it that you have allowed the devil to fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" The third thing the devil can do, he can blind your mind and not allow you to see some things you need to see. "In whom the God of this world have blinded the mind of them that believe not." Brother Spreadon talked about unbelievers. You know why people don't believe the gospel? The devil has blinded their minds. They can't see the value and the glory of the gospel. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The devil makes us dumb. God makes us smart. The devil doesn't want us to ask these questions. I want to talk about seven questions this morning that we need to answer. Number one, here's the first question. Y'all ready for number one?
Y'all ready for number one?
Here's the first question. Number one, the first question is, Where art thou, or where am I? Where am I in my life? Everybody is somewhere. Are you where you want to be right now? Are you where you need to be? That's the first question. Where am I? In the Garden of Eden, when the man's life changed, Adam's life dramatically changed. Sin had entered into his life. Whenever sin enters your life, it changes. Doesn't change for the better, it always changes for the worse. When God came in the garden, he was not asking for information because he knew where he was. He was challenging Adam to look at his life. And I need to ask myself, where am I? We ought to know where we are financially. You ought not be writing checks or swiping your debit card and don't have money to cover the amount. But hello, lights. Is that all right? I ought to know where I am. I need to know where I am spiritually. I need to know this morning, if I died today, would I go to heaven? That's a great question, ain't it? I need to know if the world ended today, and the world could end today for me. Because when I die, it's all over. Amen? Where am I? There are three questions we need to ask, or three dimensions of looking at our life. Number one, we need to take what is called a retrospective look. I need to look back at my life and see where I've come from. It's always good to look back to see where I have come from. Amen? Can anybody say this morning I hadn't always been this pretty? Can anybody say this morning I have made progress? A second look that someone should have is an introspective look. That is, look inside. Look inside of your own thoughts. Look inside of your own emotions. Look and see where you are. Are you angry this morning? Are you lonely this morning? Are you depressed this morning? Do you have anxiety this morning? Are you frustrated this morning? Are you fearful this morning? Do you have anxiety this morning? Look inside of your own heart and see where you are. Or do you have joy this morning? Do you have peace this morning? Where are you? Brother Moss, I'm doing well and I'm going to get better. Can you say amen to that? And every day and every way I'm getting better and better. I am blessed. I'm being blessed. And then we have to look prospectively. That is, look ahead. Somebody said the best way to predict the future is to create it. The best way to predict the future is to create it. And what God has given us is the power of self-determination. I can decide what my future is going to be like. I do play a role in my future. I'm sort of like the man in Invictus. It matters not how straight the gate, or charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I determine God has put in my hand whether I be saved or not. God respects my will and my individual freedom. God ain't going to make me obey him. But he says it's in my best interest to obey him. The enemy will cause us to act against our own best interests. The devil will have me fighting against myself. Amen? So that's question number one. Where am I? Where are the? Here's the second question is, what shall I do? Now everybody going to do something. What shall I do? This was the question that a rich man in the parabolic genius of Jesus. A rich man got blessed. And I don't know where you are, but you got to ask yourself, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Two things to think about. What am I going to do in the good times? Number two, what am I going to do in the bad times. Can you say amen to that? This man had been blessed. Let me give you three examples of it. This man had been blessed. God blessed him abundantly. His fields brought forth abundantly. He had more stuff than he had room for. You ever been there, got more stuff, you got so much money, you don't know what to do with it? Say amen if you can. Y'all ain't saying that. Y'all say, I heard somebody say, wow. That was about it. Well, then he raised the question, watch this. What shall I do? Because I have no goods. Brother, no room, brother, to bestow my goods. Now watch this. Some people in good times make bad decisions. Some people in good times make bad decisions. And that's what he did. I don't know this morning whether you're in a good time or a bad time in your life. I certainly hope you're in a good time, but the question is, what am I going to do? What am I going to do when everybody's trying to hire me and God is blessing me? Blessings are coming left and right. What am I going to do in the good times? Some people make bad decisions in the good times. And then there are some people who make good decisions in the bad times. One with the issue of blood. You might be struggling. You might be going through something right now. Some people, when they're going through something, they give up on God. They give up on prayer. They say, it ain't working. It ain't doing me no good. I'm coming to church. I'm getting my life together. But it ain't doing me no good. I ain't winning no victories. I'm worse off than I ever been. I see people who not even coming to church. They're doing better than me. I have cleansed my hands for nothing. What am I going to do in the bad times? The woman said, I've been sick for 12 years. I've been struggling for 12 years. I've been to all kind of doctors, and I didn't get any better. I spent all my money. I ain't got no money now, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to find my way to Jesus, and I'm going to touch his garment. And when I touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. What am I going to do in the bad times? Then there was another woman where the devil, where evil had just come into her life, had come into her house. You might be at home and you're catching hell at home. Did you hear what I said? You go home and it's a nightmare. Like I had a nightmare. Could have sleep well. And Bianca said, yeah, y'all lost. B, you lost too. B said, B, talking about I lost. B, you got beat too, B. Talking about I lost. Matter of fact, I had an Auburn fan to call me before the game went evil. What's wrong? I said, did Auburn get beat today? I said, call me after the game over. And I hung up. Calling me and the game still going on, Ron. What's up with that? Amen. What shall I do? This woman, her daughter was demon possessed. What you gonna do in the bad times? The time of testing. Time when you're going through it, when things ain't working out. What am I gonna do? This woman wasn't even a Jewish woman. So she came out of the coast of Syrophoenicia and she asked Jesus to help her. And they all kind of obstacles was in her way. All kind of impediments were in her way. But that woman stayed with it. She said, Lord, help me. He said, it's not proper to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. She said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the children's table. And she got a breath. What am I going to do in the good time? What have I done in the good time? Some people give up on prayer in the bad times. During the bad time, I need to ratchet up my prayer life. Amen? Here's the third question, y'all. What do I really think of Christ? What do I really think of Jesus? I'm not talking about the party line or the company line. I know what your mama thought about him. Your mama thought he was a wonderful counselor, an everlasting father, a mighty God, a prince of peace. But what do you think about him? Young people, what do you think about? What do you think about Jesus of Nazareth? I know what the grapevine, some say he was just a prophet. Some say he was a moral genius. Some say he was a good man, but what do you think about him? Do you think he's worthy of you making him the Lord of your life? Is he worthy of you turning over your life to him? Everybody got to make that decision. Because he's saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and what? You see, everybody got to decide, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Should I obey God? I'm talking about me. What will I do? What does Peter Moss think about Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Do you think he's wise? Do you think he's smart? Do you think he can help you? Do you think he loves you? Did you know he died for you? Did you know he was buried for you? Did you know he got up early Sunday morning for you? What do I think? You ought to answer that question. That's the question. You ought to answer the question, where am I? What will I do? And number three, what do I think of Christ? Here's number four. What must I do to be saved? Now, some of us are at different places. Some of us got different stuff to overcome. But what must I do? Rich young ruler come running to Jesus one day, asking him, good master, what is it one good thing I must do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, boy, you got a money problem. Nothing might come. He said, boy, you got a woman problem. Y'all all right? Nothing might come. He said, girl, you got a man problem. Nothing might come. You got a lying problem. Nothing might come. You got a stealing problem. What must I do? How many want to go to heaven this morning? What must I do to go to heaven? What is it in my life I got to deal with? Or it'll deal with me. Well, the alien sinner, here's what he must do. He must hear the gospel, believe it, repent of his sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. That's what a man who's not a Christian must do, according to the New Testament. Then what about people already been saved, people who've been baptized? People whose name are written down in heaven. I know some folks in here this morning who not only on Facebook, they in the Lamb's book. Is that all right? Well, what must the people who've already been baptized, what must they do? They must work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. They've got to add Christian graces to their lives. Things like knowledge and temperance. Amen. They've got to add the fruits of the Spirit to their lives. And then there are some people who've been saved, but they've backslidden. And did you know that the people who've been saved and who have backslidden, they are worse off than the people who've never been saved in the first place? Isn't that heavy? If you're a backsliding Christian, then you are worse off than a person who never been saved. The Bible says it is better not to know the way than to know the way and turn from the way. So what must I do to be saved? Here's number five. Is number five? Here's number five. What would it profit me if I gain the whole world and I lose my soul? Isn't that a good question? Isn't life about profits and losses? Aren't we all trying to profit, y'all? And trying to avoid loss? How many got insurance policies? I got insurance. Don't you have insurance policies? Right? You got auto insurance, right? Health insurance, right? Life insurance, right? Homeowners, that right? I'm trying to insure myself against what? Losses. Sometime in life you lose money. Anybody ever lost any money? One man say, he's in such a bad shape. Sister Johnson say he lost $5, was sick for 2 weeks. Now that's bad, ain't it? Lando, that's bad, ain't it? The brother said, I lost money and I was sick. Sometimes you lose relationship, that hurts. But Christ said, what would it profit you if you gain the whole? What if your career blows up? And I told him at the lectureship this past Tuesday night, you can be down and out and you can be up and out. Did y'all get that? You can have plenty of money and still be messed up. Amen. What must I do to be saved? What would it profit me if I gained the whole world, Bianca, and at the end of the day, I lose my soul? I don't plan on losing my soul, y'all. Can you say amen to that? I don't plan on losing my soul, so what must I do to make sure that I don't do it? What would it profit a bird if he gains the whole sky and he loses his wing? What would it profit a horse if he gains the whole meadow and loses his legs? Or what would it profit a fish if he gains the whole sea and loses his fin? What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Here's number six. Number six coming up, y'all. Number six, here's a big one. Number six, what do I want most of all? What do you really want this moment? If God came to you and said to you, and I'm gonna show you something in just a moment, tell me the one thing you want above everything else. What is it you want above everything? And get these bills paid. For Lance said, man. Doc feeling that, Doc. What one thing? God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I'll give you. What one thing, Solomon, do you want as king? Brother Ron, if the Almighty appeared to you, my dear brother, you're a thoughtful brother. What would you say? Don't tell nobody, just think about it. Jay, if God appeared to you, what would you, and said, Jeremy, one thing out of all the things you could desire, what would you want, Jay? What do I really want? Out of all the things I could ask for. And King Solomon, here's what King Solomon said. What a great king. He said, Lord, give me an understanding heart so I can judge your people. So I can know the difference between right and wrong. Wow. And God said, because of the things you didn't ask for. You didn't ask for money. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for the life of your enemies. I'm going to give you that anyway. But did you know God says, I'm going to give you two scriptures. Did you know you as a Christian have a right to make some requests of God? The Bible says in Philippians 4 and chapter 6, make known your requests. Have you told God what you really want? How many of you have written down what's the one thing you really want? I'm going to tell y'all what's on my top of my list. Can I tell y'all what's on top of my list? Y'all want to hear that? Y'all going to tell me what's on y'all list? Nope. Top of my list, Angie. The top of my list. What I want most of all is the salvation of my soul. I want some other things, but that's at the top of my list. Never been scared of dying. I'm scared of God. I ain't fear no dying. I fear God. I don't want to go out there, man, and die, and the Lord waiting on me. And the Lord said, Moss, depart. Oh, my God, could you hear anything worse than that? But of all the things, and then in the book of James, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Here's number seven, y'all, as we conclude. Here's number seven. Number seven is it really true that my sins will really find me out? Can I do this bad stuff and get away with it? Is it really true that I've committed some sins I didn't deal with and they waiting on me ahead down the road? It's sort of like a story I heard. So there was a man coming through a toll booth, Brother Sperling. And you know at the toll booth you got to stop and pay your toll. Well, a man was in line coming through the toll booth. And the man sitting in the booth was waving at him. Said, come on through. Well, he stopped, and the man kept waving, going through. He stopped and wouldn't go nowhere. Man kept waving, come on through. And finally, the man said to him, the man that was ahead of you done already paid your toll, so come on through. There's a man that came down through 42 generations. His name is Christ. And he paid your toll. So you ought to what? Come on through. Watch this. Watch this. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned, right? But watch this. Christ did what? He died for our sins. Y'all getting that? The wages of sin is death. All have sinned. But what? Christ died. Are y'all getting this? Can I say it again? The wages of sin is death, but Christ died for our sin. I don't think y'all getting this. The wages of sin. Well, what if you say this morning, I don't have any sin? Well, the Bible say that if we say we have no sin, we lie. And the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, then we make God a liar. God is saying all of us have committed sin. But I got some good news for you. Christ died for my sins. Is that right? And here's the way I deal with sin. Don't ignore sin. Just because I don't confess them don't mean I don't have them. Hello? The Bible said if I confess my sin, what will happen? He's faithful and just to forgive me and do what? Cleanse me of what? All sin. And then I can stand in his presence, faultless, blameless. I'm glad this morning I serve a God who can turn a dark night of despair into a bright day of hope. I'm glad I serve a God who can turn barren deserts into blooming gardens of flowers. I'm glad I serve a God that can turn pain into power. I'm glad I serve a God that can turn a setback, great God Almighty, into a comeback. I'm glad I serve a God who can turn a slave into a free man. I'm glad I serve a God who took me, Brother Ron, from nowhere to somewhere. I'm glad I serve a God who took me from alienation to reconciliation. I'm glad I serve a God who turned misery into mercy. Is that all right? I'm glad I serve a God who said, just come on up just a little higher. Is that all right? So, Brother Harris, I close with the song you like to sing, my brother. And he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Can anybody say amen to that? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning. How many can say this morning? I ain't going back. Is that all right? The world behind me. Yes, the cross before me. Because I have decided to follow Jesus. Is that all right? Well, you might say, well, ain't nobody going with me. Brother Harold said, don't none go with me. I still will follow. Can you say amen to that? Don't none go with me. I still will follow. You may see the boys hanging out on the corner. And you might tell them, come on, brothers, let's go serve the Lord. They say, no, I got to get my party on. Is that all right? But though none go with me, I still will follow. Because Christ came to make you rich. And in Christ, you have a bank that can never be depleted. In Christ, you have forgiveness that can never be rescinded. In Christ, you have an inheritance that can never be forfeited. Is that all right? In Christ, you have a position, Sister Johnson, that can never be invalidated. Is that all right? Now you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. So I think this is going to conclude my 7 series. I think. Isn't the Lord tell me something different? But I've shared with you 7 keys to an effective prayer. Y'all got your prayer journal? Y'all got your prayer journal? If you ain't got it, y'all get it, children. Amen. Don't be weary. Amen. Lando, you got your, I know you, Doc, I know you're still on your vacation. I mean, your honeymoon. I like to say it vacation, but excuse me, Doc. but you ought to get your prayer journal, Doc. And on the top line of that prayer journal ought to be Latoya Anderson. Y'all know what I said? Latoya Anderson. Is that right? I didn't hear you. I'm talking about him. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about your husband. On the top of that, Latoya Anderson. That's right. Get that prayer journal. On top of that prayer journal, you ought to have your number one request in your prayer journal. You ought to look at that. And you ought to have different things you praying for in your life. You praying for a job? You praying for a husband? Y'all got quiet on that. Praying for a wife? But Brother Moss, I ain't praying for her. I'm praying to get rid of the one I got. Now, don't you pray no prayer like that. You hear that, Cupcake? Amen. Then I talk to you about 7 skills to take your life. And I like what Brother Sperling pray. I don't care what kind of skills you got. You only have those skills because God gave them to you. Amen? Whatever skill you got, you may have skills that brings the world to your feet. But whatever skills you have, I was looking at Sister Wes and my daughter, Brooke, they got some serious skills. Amen. Sister Monyea Hill was promoted to a position of authority on her job because she got some skills. Sister Faye Rutledge left the job market, but they making a beaten path to her door. Faye, you in there? Because she got some skills, y'all. Is that right? And then this morning, I talked to you about 7 questions. And out of all these 7 questions, but 2 of them are really important. Where am I? And what will I do? What will I do in the bad times? Perhaps right now you're in a bad time, a sick time, a financial struggle time. And here's the question, what will you do? Maybe you're in a good time. Amen. What will I do? That's the message, beloved. We stand on your feet. I hope these 7 things have blessed you. Amen. 7 keys to a better prayer life, 7 skills to take your life to the next level, 7 questions you ought to ask. Amen. And now this is the invitation, and I want to say this. I said this at the lectureship. One thing you cannot say when it comes down to God. How many of you ever had to say in your life, if I only had a chance, I would have done it? You ever said that in your life? If I only had a chance, I would have done it? Let me tell you something. When it comes down to the Lord's invitation, you can't say, if I had just had a chance, I would have obeyed it. Because God gives everybody. But you don't think about opportunity? Opportunity doesn't wait on you. You got to go out and grab opportunity. And you know why you have to grab opportunity? Cassidy, here's why you have to grab opportunity, because opportunity comes, and if you don't grab it, it'll go on down the road. And here's the thing, it may not return. Ain't no guarantee opportunity gonna return. And I'm gonna say this, Lance, I'm closing, Doc. I look at this boy from Ohio State, Cardale Jones. Now this boy is a big time athlete. About 6'5", got a shotgun for an arm. And he was hot, Jay, at the end of last year. The pro scouts were salivating about it. And he could have signed $1 million worth of contract. And he said, Patrice, I'm going back to Ohio State. I said, boy, I think you blowed it. I think when the window opens, when you can make that level of money, you got to. Well, yesterday, they played with the Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois, Brother Harry. He threw 2 interceptions, and guess what they did to him? Benched him. I said, wow. When opportunity comes, amen. Is that right? When opportunity comes, what do you got to do? You got to. So here's an opportunity. Here's the Lord's opportunity. There you hear his voice. What? So here's his opportunity to get your life right. If you need prayer this morning, get your life right, get saved, whatever you need to do. Here's an opportunity. You can't say, if I only had a chance. You got a chance right now. You can't say if I only, you got a chance right now. And how many more chances does any of us have? We don't know, do we? So what do we have to do? We have to grab the chances that are before us. Because every day is a gift, y'all. I said every day is a gift, y'all. Every day is a gift, y'all. And a day ain't promised to me, but I'm sure glad God gave me a gift. But Brother Moss, I'm an alien sinner. What do I need to do? Hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Christ, be baptized. If you are a backsliding Christian, you want to be saved, you got to take action. You're going to have to take action. You can't keep saying, I'm going to get my life right. You got to take action. You can't keep saying, one day, one day. You got to take action. And what you do, you repent, you confess, and pray. Let this church pray for you, and you're back in fellowship with the great God of heaven. But you can't never say, if I only had a chance. Amen. I keep falling in over, over. Now I keep falling over, over. Now he gets sweeter. I keep falling in love with him, oh.